Well, it's good to see all of you who are out with us this evening. Hope you had a good afternoon and enjoyed some of the cooler weather that we're not necessarily as used to getting this late in May. It's been a beautiful day and hope you've been able to enjoy it. Choices. Everything we do in life is a choice. We decide where we're going to live, where we're going to work. We decide what beliefs we will hold to. We decide what religion we will believe. We decide whose truth to accept and whose truth that we call false. We decide every day. And we've all made a decision to be here this evening. And we make decisions every Sunday and every Wednesday on whether or not we're going to assemble with the Lord's people. And we make decisions throughout the week on what path we're going to take, as we talked this morning. We decide if we're going to be faithful to God or if we're going to do what we want to instead and be a little selfish and follow our own will. When we consider our lives as people, it can all be summed up as just one word of choices, because everything we do is a choice. Well, when we consider Bible characters, we see lots of examples of individuals who made wrong and right choices. And we hopefully learn from their experiences and learn from their mindset that we see in Scripture so that when we are faced with similar situations, we can make the right choice so that we are right and accepted and proven by God. You know, many people today twist religion into what they want it to by way of choice and make it something it's not. But that's something that has been from really the dawn of time. If you consider one of the earliest stories in the Bible, the story of Cain and Abel and their sacrifices, both made choices. One was acceptable by God and one was not. And so that's really our lesson tonight. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 4, the first 8 verses of Genesis chapter 4. And we want to look at Abel's mindset and understand how Abel was as an individual so that we maybe can better please God. So we turn to Genesis chapter 4, first 8 verses. Before we start the actual lesson though tonight, I did finally remember my announcement from this morning. And it is, if you have any bulletin announcements for next Sunday, I need them Friday morning at the latest. Because since I won't be here next Sunday, I'll be handing off the bulletins and leaving them here Saturday when we're here for the work day. So I need those, anything you got for the bulletin, one day prior this week. But now, let's get into our lesson. Genesis chapter 4, first 8 verses. Now Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Just a few short verses. Abel really only appears in just a brief moment of the Bible text in Genesis. He is one of the characters that we see as one of the first two sons being born of the world, Adam and Eve being made by God, and this being their second born child. And we see his offering. We know that he is a tender of flocks. We see his offering. And we see God approves of it. We see his brother jealous. His brother kills him. And that's Abel in the Bible. Very short little passage. But he's actually mentioned in a few other passages. Christ talks about him in Matthew chapter 23, verse 35, when he says that on you may come all righteous blood shed from the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah. So as Christ, as he is teaching and as he is giving out these last discourses that we find in chapters 22, 23, 24, and 25 of the book of Matthew in the last week of his ministry, he accounts Abel as righteous and he accounts his blood that was shed as righteous. So in the Genesis picture, we see one giving of his first flock to God, being accepted by God. And we have that correlating with Christ calling him righteous. But Christ is not the only New Testament reference to Abel. He's also recorded in what we often call the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, where the Hebrew writer says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks." The Hebrew writer informs us that in looking at men of faith and women of faith who have lived on this earth, and we look back at the example of them from the Old Testament, Abel is one of the first ones accounted here. And he is accounted as righteous, giving a more excellent sacrifice, being dead and still speaking. His attitude and his example is still for us today. And we still learn from Abel today. Cain knew God's will, same as Abel, and however he chose to offer his own offering, that which was not authorized or approved of by God. And so if we look at Abel in just these few verses, we can make a couple of statements about him. Number one, he understood what God required. He understood that God wanted a certain something from him. Now, under this time period, as we've talked in our worship class, they're not under the Mosaic law, as in you must give two doves or two bull or whatever it is. They're under what we call the patriarchal age. And there's really no set rules that we have written in Scripture of what they were to follow. The law that we find in Exodus, given Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, what we have recorded there is the first recording of God really instituting worship and instituting requirements upon individuals. But yet we see worship all the way from back in the beginning of the Genesis story. And so we recognize that even though it's not there in black and white for us, Abel knew what God required of him. Which implies a few things in and of that self. It one implies that he has a relationship with God because he's offering sacrifice to him. You know, if we consider ourselves, do we just randomly offer sacrifice and hope it gets to whoever it should? Well, when we sacrifice of our time and of our efforts, it's for a specific purpose, specific person, a specific cause. And so, as he's giving his offering, he has a relationship with God in knowing who he is, in knowing what God requires of him, and knowing what he has the right attitude then in giving it. Cain also understands this, but his attitude's not right. He's not giving as he should. He's not having the right attitude. And the Lord even points this out to him here in this text. Why are you angry? If you would do well, you're okay. If you would do not, sin's crouching at your door. Cain has an attitude issue, whereas Abel's mindset is on God and on what he requires and what he likes. Another part that we learn about Abel here in the Genesis account is that he willingly sacrifices. You know, you consider Cain, what is he giving here? Cain is giving an offering of the fruit of the ground. What is Abel giving? The firstborn of his flock and the fat portions. He is giving the first that he has to God. He is willingly giving what may be his best to the Lord as a sign of gratitude and as a sign of submission to God. And so looking at Abel and understanding his mindset in that he willingly followed the Lord, in that he willingly worshiped him, and that he understood what God required of him, how can we similarly be like Abel? He's a Bible character with a few passages. The two in the New Testament really just talk about his righteousness and that he offered an excellent sacrifice. So how can we learn to be more like Abel? That we too might offer a more excellent sacrifice. Well, first let me say from Philippians chapter 2, that we must choose to obey God and be submissive to Him just as Abel did. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. We'll stop there. We as children of God, we as Christians, must be in submission to God, and it's a choice that we must make to obey Him. Abel is willingly submitting to God and choosing to obey Him and choosing to give to Him in the Genesis account. If we will adapt the mindset of always choosing to obey God, then we will be looking out for the interest of others and the interest of God and not for the interest of self. As you make little decisions all throughout, those decisions become habit and then it becomes just second nature. If we are striving to be more like Christ, more like the God image, the image of God we have, then we have to make little decisions along the way to slowly change ourselves to be in total submission to God. Total submission does not come overnight. I think we sometimes fool ourselves, and maybe we foolishly think of a new Christian ought to automatically be just the perfect person. Were any of us perfect in just one night? We're all works in progress and still working. So we make choices day by day to follow after God. Part of our mindset must be when we are faced with a choice, considering how God would react depending upon our answer. You know, it's just like when we were children, and your parents taught you, and as you started getting older and you went to do something, you think, Mama's not going to be happy if I do that. Daddy's going to get after me if he finds out that I did that. I'm going to be in trouble when I get home if I do this. And it's that little voice inside of our head that is conditioning us on which choice to make. If we will consider God in our decisions, that same little voice will say, you know, this really isn't what I'm supposed to be doing as a Christian. The Lord's really not going to be pleased with me in this. I'm not honoring God with what I'm doing. And so developing a mindset similar to Abel actually allows us to make better decisions as we go, of full submission to God. And each of us as Christians have a responsibility to be pleasing to God throughout our life. Notice Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says there in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul is reminding the Romans, and by way of inspiration us, that we are to be presenting ourselves continually as a living sacrifice. We are continually to be bringing honor and glory before God. We are continually to be proving what is good and acceptable and perfect. And how can we do that if we're making the wrong decisions? If we're making decisions that go against the will of God? Are we proving His will pure and good and true? Or are we rather proving that the way of the world always has an end? Always has a way into us. We are to be presenting ourselves before God continually, prepared and ready for Him. If we don't consider God throughout our life, what happens is we reach the day of judgment unprepared to meet God. And Paul Paul also says to those in Colossae, in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And so he also reminds us that we are to do everything according to the authority of Jesus. Abel understood that sacrifice was to be made for God. You ask, how did Abel know that? I don't know. Scripture didn't tell us that God informed Adam and Eve and Cain and Seth as they were out of the Garden of Eden and living on their own that they were also to be making sacrifice. But we see them doing it, and so we understand that it was something they were to be doing because God is pleased or displeased with it. So it was something God was expecting. Abel submitted to the authority of God in doing what was required of him. We are to be exercising God's authority, as in we are existing in it, standing in it, firm in it, living in it, utilizing it, and recognizing it. We, as individuals that bear Christ's name, understand that He has all authority. And if we're trying to figure out what we should be doing, whose laws do we follow? The one with all authority. When you're here in America, we submit to the laws of this land. Guess what? When we cross the border into Canada or cross the border into Mexico, we don't submit to the laws of America anymore. We're submitting to the laws of the country in which we're standing. Because that is the authoritative body where we stand. Similarly, if you're in a foreign country and you walk into an embassy, you submit to the law of that embassy because that building is considered the land of the country it represents. So, as we as Christians, members of the kingdom of God, whose authority should we be always submitting to? Jesus's. We're standing in His kingdom. We're a part of His church. And so we need to be in submission to His authority. And we need to have a mind that shows that we not only are doing that, but that we want to do that and we want to be close to the Lord. What's the danger in not having the mindset of Abel? Because, you know, you might say a little sarcastically, well, look what it got him. He died. Yes, Abel lost his earthly life for choosing to be submissive and obedient to God. But as Jesus and the Hebrew writer reminds us, his blood was counted as righteous. Judgment is coming. And Abel will be rendered the judgment due him for his righteousness. Abel will receive what God is giving him because he has been faithful in his life. And similarly, Cain, for his unsubmission, received judgment from God. Cain was judged in God's sight to be unrighteous. Both of these individuals, Cain and Abel, made choices. They both made decisions on what to give God. And then, when Cain saw how God favored Abel's better, he chose to be unhappy and jealous. And then he chose to kill his brother over it. Cain made several bad decisions in a row. And as a result of his disobedience, going back to Genesis chapter 4, we see God's judgment come upon him. So coming back to Genesis chapter 4, let's now look at verses 9 through 13. Genesis 4, verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" He said, "I do not know him. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me out from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." We're going to stop there. Notice, before he even goes into why it's greater, that's the first statement he makes. Lord, that's too great of a punishment for me. You have just killed your brother after being warned that if you didn't watch yourself, sin was crouching at the door. You know, this isn't Cain just in a blind rage went and did it, and he didn't realize what he was doing, as we sometimes say, and so it wasn't premeditated. He was warned that he had a problem, and that if he was not careful, sin was crouching at his door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it, the Lord told him at the end of verse 7. And Cain made a choice to let it rule him instead. Instead of keeping control on his anger, he allowed it to follow through. And so because of that, I think it's, when you look at Cain's statement, my punishment's greater than I can bear, it's almost one of those situations where you want to say, I warned you. I told you. God dealt out punishment because of Cain's choice. Choices have consequences. And we, similarly, one day will meet the Lord. And one day He will render to us what we've done here on this earth, whether good or bad. We'll give an account of our actions in this life, of the words in which we've said. And at the end, Christ's words will judge us. He says that in John chapter 12, verse 48, He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word which I have spoken shall on that day judge him. We will one day be before God and give an account of what we've done. It's a whole lot easier to live through this life if we train our mind as soon as we can. To seek the Lord and to do His will and not be led down these wrong, divisive paths. God has promised a reward to the faithful. Just as Abel is accounted as righteous and receives his reward, if we adopt a similar mindset of Abel, we have a reward that awaits us. As is mentioned in the book of Revelation, where we're about to begin studying in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, there's a crown of righteousness for all those who are faithful unto death. To all those who practice righteousness, they will receive the crown of life. Excuse me. It's a promise that is made there to that church and follows through to us as well. That if we are faithful to God, we have eternal life in heaven, exalted on high. Those who refuse to obey God also have an expectation. As Paul lays out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Where he says, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Judgment is waiting for you and me. We can all be assured of that. You know, sometimes you even see it on courtroom TVs and you hear it talked about that an individual who's arrested won't live to see trial. They'll die before it happens, whether it be health problems or whatever it might be. And here on earth, sometimes court lags out forever and ever and you have no idea when it's going to be resolved, if it'll be resolved, and if judgment will ever come. One thing we can all be assured of is there's a day coming when judgment will be rendered. And it will not pass over anyone. No one will be saved from it. No one will be able to hide from it. We all will stand before God. And we all will be judged. And the outcome of that judgment depends, my friends, on our choices. And our mindset. And so we can have the mind of Cain, or we might call that today the mind of the world. We can have the mind of Abel, which is in submission to God, And if you'll let me, we'll call that today the mind of Christ that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 2. We have a decision to make in which path we're taking, in which mindset we're following, and thereby in what choices we're making day by day. God's word has been given to all of us. You know, it isn't one of these situations of where we're making a choice without all the factors. You know, sometimes when you're considering purchasing something new, you first got to decide, well, how long is it going to last? You know, is this price point better if it's going to last 2 years longer? You know, we start delving into all these different topics because we want to know everything about it. And we don't want to make a decision until everything is known. God's revealed it all to us already. There's no waiting for more information. There's no hesitating to see if there's a better offer coming along. God has revealed it all to us. It's all laid out there. It's all plainly put. We can all understand it. And where we spend eternity is dependent upon what we decide to do with that knowledge. You and I decide our fate. In the case of Cain and Abel, the choice was theirs. To choose to give an offering that would be accepted by God, or choose to give whatever they wanted to. Today, the choice is ours again. It's ours now. Do we choose heaven, or do we choose eternal destruction? What is our choice? And if you're considering it and just looking at it on a piece of paper, it's very easy to say, well, I choose heaven. If I have a choice, I choose heaven because that's where all the blessings are. And not eternal destruction, where there's all the crying and the weeping and the gnashing and so on. Well, it isn't one of these situations where we just click a button, or we mark a check mark, or we verbally say, that's the one I want. We choose by our actions each day. And so considering that, all of us right now are on the path to eternity. And hopefully, all of us who are here this morning are heading the same way. But there's been times in all of our lives where we've headed in the other direction. By the choices we've made, we're heading to an eternal fate that we don't want. So consider yourself now this evening. Which direction are you headed? Again, like I said this morning, if the road was to come to an end today, are you ready for what awaits your destination? Are you ready for your destination, what awaits you? Are you ready for what's at the end of that path? I hope everyone in here can say yes. I hope everyone here this evening can say that if they met the Lord tonight, if the Lord came in the sky before we even finish the closing song here in just a moment, that we would be ready to go home with Him to heaven. And if that's not your answer, why? Why wait? Why tarry? Why linger? The call of the Savior is open now. He is ready and willing to help you. And we are ready and willing to aid you in however we can. It's your decision to make. The choice is yours. Choose to be able-minded this evening. And so if we can help you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing the song?